Congregation, I would ask your attention this afternoon for this part of the scriptures, Philippians chapter 3, in particular the verses 10 and 11. Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. As a theme under my sermon, I wrote growth, that I may know him. Like the text says, verse 10, that I may know him. And I divided my sermon into parts. The first is the growth in the knowledge of Christ. The growth in the knowledge of Christ. Like we will see when Paul speaks about that I may know him, he is asking for growth in the knowledge of Christ. And secondly, I would speak about the content of that knowledge of Christ. When he speaks about that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And that speaks about the sanctification. And then also in verse 11, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that speaks about the glorification. But in the previous verse, in verse 9, he also speaks about the justification. To have a deeper knowledge of Christ when it comes to justification, when it comes to sanctification, when it comes to glorification. So that I might know him. The growth in the knowledge of Christ, and secondly, the content of that knowledge of Christ. But first, let us seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly God and Father, in thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we come unto thee in our prayers for the second time on this day of Sabbath with thy church. And we thank thee, Lord, that we were still able to gather together in this afternoon in freedom, where so many Christians around the world don't have this opportunity. We are still available and we are still able to be together, to worship thee for who thou art. And Lord, grant us to understand all these things. Thou knowest who we are. Oh, how often, Lord, we take it all for granted that we have our own Bibles in front of us, that we can still hear and read thy word here in church or in our homes. Oh, grant us to understand that mighty full reality that thou art a God who is still revealing thyself through the scriptures to us. That it might humble us before thee. Oh, when we look unto thy faithfulness, and when we look unto thy love in thy Son revealed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we look unto ourselves, oh God, then we have to confess also in this evening service, like we have heard this morning, there is in us no good. Oh God, in the reality, in the discovering of this truth, the law of sin, it's such a humble reality. And we pray, O God, humble us this afternoon before thee, and having a deeper understanding of that reality. No, not to become discouraged, but to look unto Thee, O precious Savior, what Thou hast done and what Thou art still doing at the right hand of Thy Father. O precious Lord, Thou art so faithful, and the power of Thy blood is still so powerful. It's still cleansing day after day. And that's our hope, and that's our only expectation. And when we will meditate this afternoon about that portion of Scripture where the apostle asks and confesses that I may know Him. O Lord, then we pray, let that longing be in our hearts, in the hearts of our children, and in the hearts of our youth. Oh, that's what we need, to be able to come in front of Thee, before Thy judgment seat, to know Thee, O Lord Jesus, personally, in our hearts and in our lives. Oh, and therefore we pray for every one of us who is still outside Thee. Oh Lord, bring us to an end of ourselves. Reveal Thyself through the Scriptures, through Thy Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, that our lives might be filled with that only name given under heaven by which we need to be saved. Remember also Thy people, Lord. Oh, that a longing might be in their hearts to know Thee more and more, and deeper and deeper, to die on ourselves more and more, but that Thou, O precious Savior, become more and more our life, and more the only righteousness before God, and through Him might live in the communion with a triune God. O Triune God, it's such a special, it's such a wonderful gift given to sinners like we are, revealed in Scripture that wonderful way in which we can have communion with God through the union with Christ. Lord, remember each and every one of us here present in church or maybe listening at home. Thou knowest our circumstances. Oh, be with us. We pray for elderly people in the aging of their years. We pray for widows and widowers. Remember them. We pray for those who are sick and afflicted. Oh, God, have mercy upon them. We pray for our youth. Oh, God, Thou knowest what's all going on in this world in which they live, and in which they have to make all their decisions. And Thou knowest our hearts, in particular when we are young. But oh, we pray, Lord, that also in their young hearts might live that prayer, that I might know Him. Remember them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for the parents in the upbringing of their children. Give and grant them what they stand in need of. We pray, Lord, be also with Thy church. Be with this congregation. We pray, be with the brothers of the consistory. Bless them and let them be a blessing. We pray for our brother, Pastor Prunk, Lord. Oh, Thou hast sent him to this part of the world to be Thy witness. Oh, Thou knowest what he needs every time again. Oh, fill his heart with Thy Holy Spirit. Oh, teach him. Teach him the treasures of the Scriptures. Oh, Lord, fill him with Thyself, and that he might be Thy servant among this people. Remember his wife and family here in the United States or in the Netherlands. Help and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for thy church worldwide. O God, we have to confess. We did already in faith confessing, I believe, one holy Catholic Church. But O God, we have to confess that we are responsible for all the brokenness in churches, O God. Oh, thy flock is divided. And we are not able, Lord, to solve it in an easy way. But therefore our eyes are unto thee, O precious Savior, because thou art the head of the church, of that one holy Catholic church. And there will be a day that that church, also visible, will be one church, one shepherd, one flock. We pray for thy church in the persecutions. Strengthen our brothers and sisters. We pray, Lord, for all the work in thy kingdom, the work of mission and evangelists. We pray for the work also among the inmates in prison, in jail. Oh, bless thy word and build thy kingdom also among them. Lord, we pray also for thy people Israel. Oh, open their eyes when they are in the midst of affliction. Again and again, who are living in Israel, but also the Jews living around the world. Oh, remember thy word and remember thy promises. O Lord, open their eyes to look unto thee, O precious Savior, as the only Messiah. Lord, we come to thee with all our needs because thou art God. And thou art a faithful God. And thou hast given all these promises in Scripture to pray for. And therefore, our hope and expectation is upon thee alone. Lord, remember us in listening. Remember us also in preaching thy word. O grant us the unction of thy Spirit. O Lord Jesus, be thou in our midst. Like thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. If we may experience that reality, we pray for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let's now sing together from Psalter 141. And during the prelude, there will be the collection. Psalter 141. And we will sing all stanzas. 141, all stanzas. that I may know him. What a wonderful word, congregation. That I, that's very personal, that I might know him. Know Jesus. Know Christ. And children, I'm glad to see you this afternoon in church. Hopefully, that's also in your heart. That I might know personally the Lord Jesus in my life as a reality. That's what Paul speaks about when he writes this letter to the Philippians. And children, do you know where Paul is when he writes this letter? He's in prison. He's in prison. Not able to serve his Lord in preaching the gospel. You know, Paul was a missionary. And Paul put his servant in a prison. But also in a prison, God uses his servant. And Paul writes a letter to the congregation of Philippi. And actually, it is a thank you letter. Because what happened, children, when Paul was in prison, the congregation of Philippi had heard about that. And when they thought about their missionary who had preached to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, their hearts went open. And they sent Epaphroditus, like you can read in chapter 4, for 16, for even in Thessalonica, sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Oh, the congregation has served also Paul in prison. And Paul, he writes this thank you letter to the congregation. And there he speaks about the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he also has to warn the congregation of Philippi. And then he speaks about that he starts in chapter 3 about that they need to be aware. The congregation of Philippi need to be aware, for he called them dogs in verse 2 and evil workers, and beware of the concession, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So Paul warns the people of Philippi for preachers who actually are preaching to have confidence in the flesh. That's maybe difficult to understand. But what does he mean? He explains that very clear. Because that is the opposite of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in the flesh. And let me explain, when Paul speaks about in that 10th verse, about that prayer, that I may know him. And children may know, Paul already knows the Lord. Oh yes, he did. But in what way, and what he wants to tell to the congregation of Philippi when he speaks about people who are trusting in the flesh? That's a danger. People of Philippi, congregation of Philippi, that's a danger to trust in our flesh instead of to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's remarkable. This he writes not to worldly people, but to Christians. So this is a message also today for us as a congregation. It's possible that you are sitting in church. It's possible that you think to be a Christian and to trust in flesh instead of in Christ. And Paul is warning the congregation of Philippi for that reality. And then he starts to explain that. And he says, beware. Oh, he says, and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh, though in verse 4, that I may also have confidence in the flesh. Then he mentioned all these things. I'm circumcised the eighth day. I'm of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law of Pharisee. Oh, Paul says, I was a beautiful Christian. Oh, this man, he had studied theology. Oh, this man had what? He was a Pharisee. He was teaching his people about what? About the law. And also about the fulfillment of the law. Paul had preached about the coming Messiah. Paul was a servant of the law. And in between he trusted on all these things as that it would be the way to salvation. Confidence in the flesh. Verse 6 he says, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But then verse 7, then he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. And that's the thing, Paul had learned something. And we know, children, where it happened. Where did it happen? In Paul's life. Where become the big change in his life? It was on the way to Damascus. Oh, Paul in his self-righteousness, he was thinking serving God. He was really thinking going to heaven because of serving the Lord. And on that very moment, heaven went open and Jesus Christ and his light came down. Saul, Saul, why you are forsaken me? And everything changed in Paul's life. Everything. Oh, he had trusted in his own flesh. But there he realized all these, and in itself, it are blessings. By the way, it's a blessing, my congregation, to be a child of God's covenant. It's a blessing to be baptized. It's a blessing. Paul also, he was circumcised. It's a wonderful blessing. But Paul couldn't base his salvation on it. And that's what he had to learn in his life. Paul was building his whole salvation on all these things without Christ, without the personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. But then he speaks those wonderful words, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Then he continues. Then he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And may I ask you, do you understand these words? Oh, when I come to my text, when Paul is praying and asking for growth in faith, we need to have faith. We need to be in Christ. We need to know the Lord Jesus. And we need to understand in our lives what Paul is speaking about. And he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. And when you read carefully in those words from verse 8 and verse 7 and verse 8, four times. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. And then he continues, for whom I suffered the loss, again, of all things, and do count them but dung, for the fourth time. That's not an easy thing, isn't it? To count all my own righteousness, all my self-righteousness, all what I think to offer to God, to count loss. It's remarkable. Paul doesn't use a neutral word. So, like he would say, it doesn't gain, but okay, it's neutral. No, he counted them a loss. He counted them actually dung. What does that mean, children? When you, I think you're also used here in the United States, when you got money, then you got an how do you count them? You get an, I lost the word. You know, and you can go with your, I'm sorry, I forgot a word. But you know, when you get a payment of your boss, you get it on paper. That paper, yeah, that's what I mean. And you have to, you bring it to the bank, yes? And then the bank will deposit it on your account. So when you are going to the bank with all these documents and you think when you get your statements that they will all be deposited at your account. And at the end of the day you see your statements and you see they are not deposited. They are not debited. They are not credited, but they are debited. You lost it. Instead of gaining. And this is what Paul is speaking about. All these things. To be a Jew. To be circumcised. It's not neutral. It's but a loss. Why? When we compare it. With the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand these words? In your personal life. That's a hard thing. When the Holy Spirit brings the sinner to see the reality that all my self-righteousness is not neutral. What does that mean, children, self-righteousness? For example, a prayer. And hopefully you pray. And what's praying? Praying is approaching the presence of God. And sometimes you are allowed to approach the throne of God and to pour out your whole heart before God, isn't it? It's sometimes such a blessing, isn't it? But how easily we can find because of our prayers. Oh, now I'm a Christian. And now God will hear my prayer. But oh, when the Holy Spirit shows us. But I heard once of a minister, he was preaching about that, and he said, oh, in our most sincere prayer is enough sin to condemn me for eternity. Shall I repeat that? In my most sincere prayer is enough sin to condemn me for eternity. When the Holy Spirit shows us that reality, that even my prayers are filled with sin, that all my righteousness, that all my self-righteousness cannot exist before God, then I understand where Paul is speaking about. And that's what happened on his way to Damascus. Oh, there he found the righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. And he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, that is the past time. But then in verse 8, yes, yea, doubtless, and I count them, this present time, all things but loss. That's up till today. Paul says, all the things given to me, that the Lord has called me to the ministry, that I am able to preach the word of God, it's but a loss. Why? When I compare it with the glory of Christ, with the love of Jesus, with the reality of Christ. And oh, when a soul knows a bit of this Jesus, then there will be that prayer. That prayer where the apostle is praying for in our text in verse 10. Oh, then he says, that I may know him. He knew him already. But oh, when I know him, there is a longing to know him more, to know him deeper, to know him fuller. Children, I can give you an example again. Now, there's a young couple here. We were able to come with the youth from Springford. And then you see young people together, and you see some couples there. And then you see that's that wonderful love. Hey? That's beautiful to see. And when a young couple get married, but when they are married, just married, then you know one another just for one week maybe. Often when I have a conversation with young couples, I say after six weeks of marriage, you know each other way better than 3 years of dating, isn't it? And so, in because that is knowledge out of experience, and you know each other more and more, and there is a longing to know each other better and more and deeper, isn't it? And this is the life of a Christian. This is the life of Paul when he is praying, oh, that I may know him. That I may know him. He doesn't speak about his benefits, first of all. It comes later. But first of all, he speaks about the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, all the benefits we were speaking about, the justification, sanctification, and glorification. But Paul says, that I may know him. That I may know him, the Son of God. That I may know Jesus Christ himself in my own heart and in my own life. Is it your prayer? Do you understand, Paul, my dear youth? Oh, this is such a blessed knowledge. To know Christ. To know him. Oh, Paul says, in another place, it has pleased God to reveal his Son into my life. That's a gift of God. That's a powerful work of the Holy Spirit in man's life. Also today, don't forget it. When the Holy Spirit out of the Scriptures brings us to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, oh, when I come to an end of all my things and of all my works, and I might see the righteousness of the Lord Jesus in my own heart and in my own life, to see as enough also for me. What a joy. What a blessing. Oh, to know Him. But also to know Him more and deeper and better. Oh, yes. There is a beginning of that knowledge. Oh. It can be so different in the life of a Christian, isn't it? That little knowledge. Oh, there can sometimes be a day that in that wonderful gift of faith, you know, and when faith believes, it's impossible not to believe, isn't it? And when you might see through the Scriptures that precious Savior with eyes of faith, and there is that faith that's always embracing and that always is owning. And yes, that can happen, and it can be 1 hour, and it can to the next day. It can be so under attack of Satan, and it can become again darkness in your life. Oh yes. But when faith believes, it knows that it believes. It's impossible not to believe. That's the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. But then there's that longing, oh Lord, that I may know Thee more and deeper and better. Oh, there is a growth. There is a growth. And I would say, not first of all in faith. Faith is just a mean. But there is a growth in the knowledge of Christ. The growth of faith is that Christ becomes more and more for me. Oh, don't forget that, congregation. We can always talk about faith. But faith is just a means. But it is about Christ. It's about that precious Lord, that living Jesus, and the knowledge of Him, that I might know Him. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? My dear youth, do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? Maybe you will ask, Pastor, how do I know that I know Christ? And I can give a whole sermon about that. But let me just say this. When you know Christ, this is your language. This will be your language. That I may know Him. Oh, that it will be such a longing in the soul of such a Christian, of such a sinner, to know more about this precious Lord, this precious Savior. There is a growth in the knowledge of Christ. The Apostle Peter, he speaks about it in his epistle, chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. To grow in faith. Oh, and that's possible. That's possible. Once I heard about in Scotland, a synod meeting of the church who was part of the disruption. I think you know the history of that church better than I know, maybe. But many pastors came for the first time together in a synod meeting. Pastors like Andrew Bonner and Robert Murray McChain. Those godly men, you know them, isn't it? You know their sermons and their books. Godly man, who am I in the light of those men? And they asked one of their pastors to do the opening sermon. And he was preaching to all those godly men. And he had a huge agenda for that day. And then this pastor was preaching and he says, my dear brothers, why we are here together in this broken situation? Is it maybe that I and you were satisfied with that little knowledge of Christ. Where there is so much knowledge in Christ to receive, maybe you were satisfied with that little knowledge of Christ. And the Holy Spirit came down and convinced the heart of all those pastors. And they skipped their whole agenda. And in the afternoon, they all went on their knees to confess their sin. Can you imagine? Man like Robert Murray McChain. Man like the brothers of, which I mentioned already, the Bonner brothers, you know. On their knees confessing God. And maybe people of the Lord this afternoon, maybe that's your life. Maybe you were satisfied with that little knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may I ask you, when it was the last time that you received such a wonderful impression of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work? Oh, then you understand that prayer, that I may know Him. But that's possible. When that minister said, there is such, maybe you are satisfied with such a little bit of the knowledge of Christ, but there is so much knowledge available. That's also today. That's also today. Oh, my dear young friends, there is such a fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ also today. That's not something from the past. Because He is still the same, like He speaks in His Word. Don't believe those preachers who will say that in the past everything was okay and very well, and now we are living in bad times. Oh yes, that's maybe true. But God isn't changed. His Holy Spirit isn't changed. His Word isn't changed. Oh, when Paul speaks about that I may know Him, oh, then he is longing for growth in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let's now see in the second file the content of that knowledge. And Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. To know the power of His resurrection. Children, why the Lord Jesus is risen on the third day? Why? He was in the tomb. He was dead. And we have confessed it. Dead and buried. And He entered into hell. But on the third day He arose again from the dead. Why? Why the Lord Jesus is risen? Oh, we all know that on Good Friday He cried out at Calvary's cross, Tetelestai, it is finished. And after that, He died and He was buried. But on that Easter morning, not only Jesus cried out, it is finished, but on Easter morning also God the Father, He cried out, it is finished, my Son. And He raised Him from the dead, and Jesus conquered over death. And He conquered over sin, and He conquered over Satan. Oh, that raising power of the living Jesus. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Oh, when Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, then he is actually asking to know the Lord Jesus Christ more and deeper, first of all, and it comes to His personal justification. And you can find it in the previous verses. And he says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by God of faith. Oh, Paul is asking that I may know Christ better and deeper when it comes to the forgiveness of my sin. And may I ask you, do you understand it? Oh, what is a Christian? Oh, I'm sure. Oh, when for the first time the Holy Spirit reveals Christ in our lives. Oh, there will be that choice in our hearts and we'll say, Lord, never, never I will sin again. Never, Lord. I will live for Thee my entire life, Lord. I will never sin again. But oh, what's the reality? What's the reality? Oh, when the Holy Spirit is continuing in discovering our hearts and souls. Jesus has promised that. I will send the Holy Spirit and He will discover the world of sin. And that's an ongoing thing in the life of a Christian. More and more and deeper and deeper. That's a Christian. So that's why when you ask a true Christian, are you converted? Yeah, I know there are people, they will tell you a whole story to convince you that they are converted. But I'm sure when you hear a true Christian and you ask him, are you converted? He will say, am I converted? I'm a sinner. And maybe God is busy to convert me. And hopefully when I'm home, when I'm in heaven, then I will be converted. But now, the reality is that I become more and more. I do see sins I have never seen before. Oh, I see the power of my unbelief. I see the power of my pride. More and more. And deeper and deeper. That's the Christian. That's a Christian. Don't believe them who are only talking in a way that a Christian is going in a way up to heaven. Yes, he's going to heaven. But oh, for his own, for his own awareness, he becomes more and more and deeper a sinner. Read it in Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 115. Oh, when the Holy Spirit shows me to be what? To be remain what in myself? Ungodly. No, that's not easy. That's not easy. But that's so, such a blessing. Because why is such a blessing? Oh, this is what Paul is asking for. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He is risen for my justification. Oh, my justification is outside myself. It's in him alone. He is my righteousness. He is, and he remains my righteousness. I have no righteousness in myself. Do you understand it? My dear young people, maybe you are struggling with sin. And maybe there were moments in your life you thought, oh, it's going better. It's going better. Now I can pray better. And now maybe I have faith. And, but maybe you're in church and you're empty. And you are guilty. And you say, yes, I promised God to change my life yesterday. But today again, I'm fallen in sin again. What to do? That I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. When that power we have heard about this morning, Goliath, that human tank as a reality in my own heart, I have no righteousness in myself. But only in that little David. He is my righteousness. He is my life. He is my hope. That I may know him. power of his resurrection. So you see, congregation, that justification is actually an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. Every day again, a Christian needs the power of the blood of Christ. But what a wonderful thing that the Apostle John speaks about that in the present tense. And he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth every day. Every day again. From all my sins. What a mighty full knowledge, isn't it? But then he continues and he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It's remarkable, congregation, that Paul actually turns the order in the text. He first speaks about the resurrection of Christ, and then he speaks about the sufferings of Christ. That's remarkable, isn't it? Yes, we have spoken about the justification. But now he turns the order. And when it comes to the sufferings of Christ, then he is first of all not speaking about the justification through the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the suffering of Jesus Christ in the sanctification of a Christian. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Again, when the Lord Jesus arises at the third day, he arises in that wonderful power of God. And it is through that power that that's the same life which is in every true Christian. Oh, in every true Christian is that life of Christ. And that's that powerful life by which a dead sinner is risen out of the spiritual death into spiritual life. That's the cause of Paul's new life. The resurrected power of Christ. And now he is praying that also that this power might be used in two ways. First of all, in overcoming of sin. Oh, to be in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, congregation, yeah, maybe I can ask that question again. You will ask, do you know Christ? How do you know that you know Christ? And this is your prayer. And this is your longing. Oh, by the power of the blood of Christ, oh Lord, that the sins in me may die. That I might die more and more and deeper and deeper. Paul speaks about it in Romans 6. When he says, for if we were made a plant with him in the likeness of his death, even so shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Oh, he is praying for that the old man might be crucified with Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, congregation, that's not always easy, isn't it? The way of sanctification in the life of a Christian, not an easy way. It's against my nature. It's against my flesh. But it is so necessary. You know, how often we think that The purpose of God in the life of His people is to give them as much comfort as they want to have. And it's true, God is comforting His church. But that's not the first purpose of God. Paul says, being made conformable. That's the purpose. Not first of all to have a lot of comfort, but to make conform the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and that's not easy. You can read it at home, Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, when God brings His people under persecution, under sufferings, that's not an easy thing. But then the apostle, he writes to the Hebrews, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto your children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him for whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And then he says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Paul's praying for that. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Inwardly, outwardly. When he speaks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me just read it. When he speaks in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. May I ask you, is this your prayer? Is this the longing of your soul, my dear people? Oh, to have that fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, although it's going through such hard ways, the difficult ways, impossible ways, but in the depths, to experience the reality of the living Christ. Oh, my dear young people, the Lord Jesus is a living Jesus. At the right hand of God the Father right now is a living Christ. He has conquered over death. He has conquered over sin. He has conquered over Satan, isn't it? Now we have not to pray for persecution. But sometimes I think, God, purify thy church. We have seen a little bit in COVID time, isn't it? Maybe it will be more and more in the future. It's not a problem, isn't it? It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Oh, to become more and more conformable like Christ. May I ask you, be honest. It's the question of God Himself to your own soul. Is this the longing of your heart? Sanctification. To become more and more Christ-like in my family. At school, among my friends. Christ-like. But then also the third part of that knowledge that he is asking in verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh, congregation, can you understand what Paul's speaking about? When he is in prison and thinks about a congregation of Philippi which he loves, he's praying that I might know Christ.
for that reason, that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the guarantee that each and every Christian on that one single day will be resurrected with Christ. And what a day it will be, isn't it, congregation? What a day it will be. And I ask again, my dear youth, are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? Maybe tomorrow. When we will see on the clouds above Grand Rapids, and we will hear the voice of the angels, and the trumpet will sound, and Jesus will come down. Are you ready for that day? Oh, will you, is it, and you say, oh, there he is. My Savior, my Lord, my Christ. Oh, what a day. Paul is asking for that day. He said, that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. On that one, on that single day, when Jesus will return. Maybe you say, oh, Pastor, I'm afraid for that day. I'm afraid for that day. Why? Maybe hear parents and they say, oh, my children are not saved. And therefore, oh, I wait. Lord, please give us some days more. Another one will say, oh, Lord, yes, sometimes there is a longing for that day, but when I look again to myself, I fear how I can stand in front of a holy God. How I can stand in front of a holy God. And these things you read also in the text. Because Paul says, when he says, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You could explain these words, if by any means, as a kind of a doubt. That he would say, I don't know. I don't know if I will be saved in that day. But then we read it in the wrong way. Oh no. Oh no, for Paul it is certain. He is longing for that day. And at the same time, why he is using this language, he is still aware of his own imperfection. We started the sermon with the first part of that chapter, when Paul was speaking about his past, and when he was thinking, I'm circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, when you would ask him at that time, Paul, when you die, will you go to heaven on the day of resurrection? Would you live again? Oh, he would be sure. He would be sure. He would say, oh, yes, I'm a Pharisee and I'm circumcised. And I... But here, in this 11th verse of Philippians, we hear another Paul. That's not the Paul of Tarsus. But that's Paul the Apostle. Who knows more and more his own heart. Or how often he speaks about that in his epistles, that he is the apostle who has persecuted the church of Christ. Oh, his sins were forgiven, but he was not able to forgive himself. And you know, that's the Christian, isn't it? Oh, and by the power of the Holy Spirit shows me the sinfulness of my heart. More and more and deeper, it's a wonder, isn't it? What a wonder it will be. Then you can understand when Martin Luther said, oh, when I will enter heaven, all the bells will ringing that Martin Luther has been saved. Why? He was so special? Oh, no. He was just a sinner. And that you see the mighty work of the Holy Spirit is always humbling a sinner. And all then Christ will get all the glory. God, the triune God, will get all the glory for the salvation of Paul and for the salvation of a sinner also today. What a wonderful word. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. O congregation, how it is in your life, may I ask you that question once again. Do you know Christ? There are only two answers possible. Yes or no. And if you don't know Christ, be honest. Don't deceive your own soul. But come unto him, confess your sin and confess your unbelief. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is his righteousness in the scriptures, revealed and preached to you again. Complete Savior for a complete sinner. He is willing to receive you right now. Not tomorrow. Satan will say tomorrow. Satan will say you have to think about that. You have to consider it. And maybe tomorrow. No, here is the Lord Jesus. Right now. With the fullness of his blood. With the power of his blood. With the fullness of his work. His finished work. And if he is your life, then Christ is your only hope and your only expectation. Be sure. That day is coming soon. And you will see him face to face. It's a reality. He spoke about it in the consistory. 2 weeks ago, my mother-in-law passed away. My wife and I, we stand at her bed when she died. It's a reality. Death is a reality. But the Bible doesn't only speak about death. Also about the resurrection. And it will happen. It will be. What a day it will be. What a day it will be. To see this precious Lord. To see this precious Savior forever, forever be in his presence. No more sin, no more doubt, but to be in the presence of a triune God. The day is coming. The day is coming soon. Are you prepared? Are you longing for it? Amen. Let's sing together. Psalter 403. The first stanza. 403, verse 1. Let's pray. Oh, precious Lord, what a blessing that we might have the Scriptures in which Thou revealest Thyself unto us, O living Christ, O living Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who art reconciling sinners with God, oh, to live in that communion with the triune God. Oh, Father, oh, Son, oh, Holy Ghost, may we glorify Thy name for this wonderful way of salvation given by Thee. For such ungodly sinners as we are, and remain in ourselves, we thank Thee, oh, for this special word, and we pray, oh, that the knowledge of Christ might increase. Oh, yes. And there will be that prayer. Let him increase and I decrease. Bless Thy word. Be with the congregation. Lord, remember their pastor. Be with each and every one of us in this new week in all that we have to do. Bless all our labors. Keep us from sin and evil. Bless all the activities of the congregation. Make everything well with Thyself. Give us traveling mercies when we go on the roads. Lord, we ask all these things in the forgiveness of all our sin. For Jesus' sake. Amen. In closing, sing Psalter 226. And I think during the prelude there will be the collection. We will sing Psalter 226, all stanzas.
You people, lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.